You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, May 4th, 2011. This is episode 182, Staff Ministry Recap. Welcome back, everybody, to the Wells Tech Podcast. This is Martin Spriggs, and you are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, a podcast where we talk about technology and its potential impact on your ministry. The Wells Tech Podcast, brought to you by
Wells.
Wait a minute, we don't have a sponsor, Sally, do we?
Are we looking for a sponsor?
I don't know. I've never thought about that, but I think we're doing fine just the way we are. That lovely voice on the other end of the microphone from Sleepy Eye, Minnesota, is of course Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. Happy to be joining you today. We're looking for abundant sunshine in the winter months of May.
I think God has just decided that spring is optional here in the Midwest.
I agree. When you wake up and it's 29 degrees on May 2nd, that's kind of depressing, actually. But
whatever.
We'll get spring at some point, maybe in June. Who knows?
Right.
Anyway, it was great to see you last week.
You made
the trip over to New Ulm, yep, Minnesota for the Staff Minister Conference, and I was there and enjoyed your keynote presentation in the afternoon.
I enjoyed preparing it, and I enjoyed giving it, and maybe even more than all that, I enjoyed meeting all the staff ministers that were in attendance. They had a nice turnout, 70 or 80 folks there. And to me, that was kind of an eye-opener. I really was not in tune with all the things that a staff minister does within our synod. And it's really varied from end to end of the ministry spectrum. They do all kinds of things, from music to worship planning to education to youth to administration. And that kind of made it hard to develop a keynote, but that was part of the fun of it, too. We could really talk about almost anything ministry-related and technology-related, and it would hit somebody where they work. And that was a neat experience.
And, technology is a thread that runs through all of those different areas that you described. And so, they may all use it differently, but it is exciting to share with them some of the things that we talk about on the podcast on a regular basis, and hopefully that can be a benefit to their ministry efforts.
The podcast was a real blessing in preparation for this, because most of the things that we talked about, we had at some point discussed in some shape or form on the podcast in previous episodes. So we obviously encourage them, and I'm sure we maybe have some new listeners as we shamelessly plug the podcast during the keynote and during the conference itself. So, but it was good, very good to be out there. So that's really the subject of our conversation here to lead off the show, is some of the core concepts that I shared in my keynote, and also some of the things that you shared in your breakout group, Sally.
Sure. And I think right away, I just need to tell everybody, give you a visual before we delve into your keynote address. There's Martin up on the stage in the MLC auditorium, and he has this huge screen behind him, So I'm thinking TED Talk. Totally. This was your TED moment,
this
Martin,
my
right
TED
there
moment.
In MLC.
That was it. Okay.
And if you want to have a little flavor of that, we even have a short video snip that you can watch. We'll include a link in the show notes, and you can see Martin in front of the big screen doing the TED thing.
30 seconds of TED there.
Yes. There you go.
Also, the whole presentation is online. I used a presentation technology we've talked about in the past, which I had a lot of comments on in my breakout group. What was that, and its uses, and that's Prezi, Prezi.com. And if you'd like to go to the presentation, I made a shortcut using one of our useful tools, bit.ly/findintersection. bit.ly/findintersection. You can kind of see the whole keynote there. And the Find Intersection is based off the title, which was Finding the Intersection Between Technology and Ministry. And the keynote, I broke it out into four categories. Again, I mentioned the fact that, boy, it was really hard to zero in on one specific aspect of staff ministry. So I tried to hit the five corners that I thought would reach the most people. And I started with outreach. And we've talked about my five C's before. And we don't need to go over those. But that's basically a progression through how to build an effective, you know, what I would determine call an effective website, all the way from the contemplation stage where you're thinking through all the things that you need that need to go into a website. And the big question there is who is your audience is probably a question that every committee needs to think about before they dive in and actually build a website, all the way to the end where you're recalibrating and determining what's working and what's not, using tools like Google Analytics. In the middle there, maybe worth sharing and something that I'm getting a little bit more comfortable with and recommending for new websites. We have always recommended the tool Final Web, and we have a lot of our congregations using those, and I still believe that that is probably the best tool for most congregations because it is easy to use and it's easy to train people on. But also another one that I think is gaining some popularity, at least in my mind, is WordPress. That is also a fairly easy tool. Most people recognize that as a blogging platform, but it does have a lot of add-ons and a lot of capabilities in just the raw website space. So those would be the two that I think are probably the most valuable.
Yeah, I was really excited that you found a cool link to share to the WordPressChurch.org site, mm-hmm. where there's examples of churches that are using WordPress and designing some really awesome websites on mm-hmm. that platform.
Yep.
So,
yeah, I was not aware of that. And then as I was doing research on churches using WordPress, that was one of the first things that came up in my search. And very useful, nicely done website, and it really walks you through the steps necessary maybe for a church who's wanting to use WordPress to see what things are necessary to actually get that done.
You know, as I hear you describe that and, you know, watch the examples that you shared, it just amazes me that we started out with this tool that was a blog. And a blog is a personal diary, and it's one person, mm-hmm. and it's chronological. And now we've morphed this tool into something that's useful for the church, mm-hmm. And have some great examples. And I think that's really what our podcast is all about,
yep.
that there's all these tools out there and that you can make use of them for ministry. It takes some creative thinking and some examples to kind of spark your ideas and stuff. And this is a great site for that.
And what we're benefiting from sites like this, are churches and church workers, obviously not just Wells, but people across the globe, trying to figure out how best to use these tools to God's glory and figuring out how to leverage website technologies and any other kind of technology to spread the gospel. So that's we are certainly benefiting from that. So we're not having to reinvent the wheel each time.
Mm-hmm.
The next area that we talked about was discipleship, both adult and child discipleship. And my focus there was on enhanced Bible study. And we spent a little bit of time talking about the Glow Bible and other kinds of presentation technologies. And you know, the encouragement there is to try and figure out how to bring those letters on a piece of paper to life through different tools that are available, like the Glow Bible, which we've talked about at length in the past with all the tools that come with that, some of the animations that are there, the timeline that is one of the lenses within Glow Bible, so you can kind of zero into a point in time, the artwork, the maps that are there, all of those bring together a kind of a fuller experience so that we can kind of get a better sense for, you know, the time in which the Bible was written and some of the imagery that it might bring to mind.
Boy, it was neat to watch the electricity kind of go through the audience when you showed the Glow Bible. Mm-hmm. You definitely raised some eyebrows on that one, and it was a good audience to share it with. I bet they'll make use of it for sure.
I think so, either whether it be personal or in a professional way.
Mm-hmm.
And the next area was family ministry, and really I think this was almost the highlight of the keynote for a lot of people, where we talked about Facebook and its uses in ministry, and we've done that on this show. But one of the interesting new products out there, a free tool, is called the Table Project, which I don't want to steal all my thunder for my pick of the week. But basically that is an internal church-based social network that adds some value. And we were fortunate enough to have John Favorite there, who is at Crosswalk Ministries down in Arizona. And their church is making nice use of that tool and was able to walk everybody through how they're using it, which is always nice to get a real live church or a real live church application in front of people so they can see how it's used in real life.
Yeah, that was exciting to see. And I don't know, he said he had like 150 people in there mm-hmm. making use of it. So, some good adoption rates there.
Yeah, it seemed like 30-40% of their membership was basically on that site. And it seemed from what he demoed to be pretty active. So we'll talk a little bit more about that in my pick of the week. Then we moved on to stewardship. And I really just focused on time stewardship and meeting management. Most staff ministers do spend time in meetings, and there are a lot of tools that will assist. One of the tools that I shared that resonated with a few was a tool called Doodle, which I think Gail has brought up in the past, which is a meeting mm-hmm. scheduler, the ability to plug in available slots, send out to a bunch of invitees, and have them respond, and ultimately the software helps you pick a time when everybody is available and then manages the notification process and even a reminder process to say, hey, this meeting's coming up. Get it on your, make sure it's on your calendar and make sure you show up at the right time. So
lots to administer, I'm sure, in larger churches especially mm-hmm. to have those kind of tools at hand. In my presentation, which we'll get to in a second, I use mind mapping, and you mentioned that as well in that section. And that's been I don't know, of all the office tools and things that I use, probably the most changing.
Difference maker, yep.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think that was something that maybe people hadn't heard of as well. So that was good that you shared that.
Yeah, maybe we should revisit that on the show at some point in the future. I think there are all kinds of uses for mind mapping, and just the concept in general has application across almost every area of the ministries that make up our listeners, whether it be in educational circles or meeting management or your personal management, time management, whatever. I'd be lost without the tools that those technologies provide. And so would the show, because that's essentially what builds our show from the beginning to ultimately, helping you get this into a show notes. So
it's kind of funny, Martin, you mentioned at the beginning that the podcast was a good guide for you and there were lots of resources there, and now you're saying we should revisit. And that's what I find, is that there's lots of resources, but as soon as we make these resources for the podcast, things are changing and growing and mm-hmm. developing. And so there's lots of opportunities for us to revisit topics and delve a little deeper and look further at how they can be used in ministry.
Yep. Yep. And then the last core area that we focused on was volunteerism, and that is certainly an area that every minister of, whether it be teaching, preaching, or staff minister, needs to deal with. Obviously, we can't do it on our own, so we need the folks. And we pointed to a couple things there, a couple of Web 2.0 applications that allow easy sign-up and tracking. And then I did a little demo of Church 360, which is the new product from Concordia Technology Solutions, a department of Concordia Publishing House, where this is kind of their online Shepherd Staff version. So that looks pretty promising, especially for those who have multiple people maintaining the church database, and also the ability for members to come in and update their own information.
Yeah, that was probably the most exciting for me. That was something brand new to me to get to lift the curtain and see you log mm-hmm. into that site. Maybe we'll have to have you record a video or something of that so we can all take a look. But lots of potential there for online church management systems. I'm looking forward to that developing more.
So another part of the conference that that was held there in New Ulm was breakout groups. And Sally, you were privileged to lead one of those as well. And you were talking about websites.
I was. My topic was making the most of your website. Probably had 10 or 12 people in there. There were 5 breakout sessions going concurrently, so I'm sure it was a tough choice for people to choose. But I enjoyed the group that was there, and they came with some good questions, and that was most exciting to me. I do have my presentation online. It's not a typical linear presentation, but a mind map, as I mentioned earlier, and full of links to all kinds of different resources that can help you make the most of your website. It's organized under getting started, outreach, inreach, communication, and social. And one of the questions I had just right off the bat was kind of along the lines of getting started. It was, we have a website, but we'd like to kind of take it to the next level, and we don't know where to begin. We don't know, you know, how to get people involved or what. And you know what I did, Martin?
What's that?
I pointed to my favorite Martin-Spriggs resource. you recently, within the last year or so, wrote a white paper called Websites and Missions Reaching Out in a Digital World. And we actually have that posted out on the Wells Tech podcast website. And, you know, probably right off the bat, I think one of the most important things is looking at the formation of a technology or communication and technology committee. And I think you covered that quite well in what you wrote. And I just kind of pointed them that direction and said, you need to, you know, get some power behind this, get the right people pulled together, and spend the time in that contemplation step, like you described earlier. Yep. You know, just what is it that you're trying to accomplish with your website, and who is your audience, and that kind of thing. And I think that that's the step that most people just kind of gloss over and say, let's dig in and put some stuff on the web. And,
right. And
that's why the websites are a bit disappointing potentially. Mm-hmm. So
what kind of questions did your participants ask?
Yeah, one that I thought was really interesting was someone brought up that they were kind of a front page user and trying to stay up to date on how to do, you know, websites using this local software, Front Page or Expression Engine or whatever. And I said, boy, it's time to go online with a content management system. And we took a look. We logged in on my church website and looked at the WYSIWYG editor, the What You See Is What You Get editor, right there integrated with the website. And how you can have multiple users updating your website, different areas of it, segment it with security resources and things like that. And so I think that was a really huge leap for several people in the room to kind of shift their brain away from the one guru who has the software on their computer and does FTP of the website. So that was probably the biggest thing. Different people were intrigued by different things. We spent some time looking at the concept of intranet and how you want to separate the message for the church visitor, even if it's just by having a visitor section on your website or whatever, addressing their needs and what they're looking for versus what your members are looking for. And I think it's kind of a mixed bag as to whether people want to do a separate website or even password protect a website. But members are definitely looking for different information, and depending on their techie skills, you may want to send them to something like a password-protected Google site for sharing information. And it was great because I had an example from Gethsemane in Raleigh, North Carolina, where Pastor Rob Gunther had put together a really awesome Google site, and I could show him. He has everything documented out there, even down to their different bulletin layouts, you know, for the first Sunday of the month or for Communion Sundays or whatever, you know. So just a very well done internal website, and so we appreciate that he shared that.
It was
good discussion. It was way short, though. I mean, you could spend a lot more time than 45 minutes on the topics that we covered in my breakout. What about your breakout? How did it go?
Good. Mine was more generic, just kind of they called it Ask the Expert, like I'm some kind of expert. Really not, but we talked about a couple of the big topic areas were live streaming. Everybody wanted to know, you know, how best to do that. And a couple other areas were kind of interesting. Technology planning, how to get all this thing, how to get this thing going within a church or a school.
Same kind of question I had.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last question was really interesting that we kind of discussed or threw around the class was, how do you communicate with just the broad spectrum of age groups that you have all on different, essentially, communication channels? So you've got, you know, the young folks, you know, the middle age, the elderly, you know, all of them aren't on Facebook, for instance, or all of them aren't, you know, receiving text messages, or all of them don't check email. How does a church figure out a communication strategy to reach out to each area? And we didn't really have a great answer because it's a hard question. And we live in an interesting time where you're going to have to share that message or share that communication in all kinds of different ways to make sure it gets heard by all the intended audiences.
There are definitely a lot of different channels, and I think what we're learning more and more here at St. John's and Sleepy Eyes is to feed that same content in the different channels so that you hit them somewhere along that spectrum.
Yep.
You know, and so we repurpose our content. We get it on our website. We get it in our print newsletters. We get it on Facebook and via Twitter, feed it different places and stuff. So it's nice that the channels kind of play fair and talk to each other and things like that. So you can use RSS and that kind of technology to spread the word in a lot of different ways. So
Sally, your Sleepy Eye is probably a typical Wells rural, I call it rural, congregation.
Rural?
I'm sorry.
We're a big city here, Martin. Come on.
You know what I mean. But
yes,
how many, what percentage of your members are basically active online, however you want to define
that? Well, I can tell you that our Facebook page has been out there for a while, and we only have 44 who have liked our page or whatever. And that's, you know, our congregation on the books, at least, is probably around 400 to 450. Mm-hmm. And so that's only about 10% adoption on the Facebook side. We aren't very techie here in Sleepy Eye. So.
Okay.
But it is neat to hear more and more people come up to me at church and say, hey, I tried the live streaming. I couldn't make it to church this Sunday. Mm-hmm. We were sick. We were snowed in. Imagine that. And we were able to watch the service on the live streaming. And I think a very large percentage have tried that and have appreciated it at some point for being able to worship with us from a distance. So that's exciting to see that adoption kind of taking off.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's obvious, and that was part of our conversation too. That's only a segment that's going to grow, the people that are online and prefer to communicate online rather than, you know, mail or, you know, some other fashion. So if they want to know what's going on in the church or sign up for something, you know, whatever that may be, the expectation is that would be in an online environment. So interesting. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, on behalf of both Sally and I, thanks to the good folks at the Staff Ministry Conference for inviting us out there, and we had a great time, and we look forward to maybe revisiting. That's a great group.
Actually, we look forward to hearing from them in our comments section
absolutely.
On the Wells Tech podcast. So speak up, guys. Tell us what's working for you or what questions you have as a follow-up, guys and gals,
sure.
From the Staff Ministry Conference. We'd love to add you to our listenership.
Pleasure to be with you. Let's move on to ministry resources, Sally.
Yeah, we hit the jackpot today. We got a lot of ministry resources to share. First up, we heard from Greg Mink, who's out at Peace in Eagle River, Alaska. And Greg is working on their website, doing a lot of cool stuff up there with Pastor Hockman. I was trying to remember the name. One of my husband's classmates is up in Eagle River.
Okay.
Anyway, Greg wrote to share a link to some extra normal videos, and it's actually being done by Pastor Rob Gunther, who is now at Grace in Kenai, Alaska, and he's discovered this extranormal.com website where you can, and he's using it to make kind of commercials or sermon promotion type videos, and he's doing it for both his congregation, Grace in Kenai, and also Peace in Eagle River, and he sent us links to some of these. Now, if you haven't experienced Extra Normal, I went out and did some playing yesterday. It is a website free to use where you can type in a script and select a background and some animated characters and act out and create a video with your typed in script. So they use text to speech technology, take the words that you type in and the actions that you direct them to carry out, and create these cool videos. And you just gotta watch Pastor Gunther's Easter promotional videos. Easter means no fear, and it's basically kind of set in an office setting. A guy's just lost his job, and his coworker is telling him that Jesus is her savior and that she doesn't have fear for her future or anything like that because of Easter. And I think it's just a really great use of technology. For those who are so inclined, I think they're going to really appreciate these fun videos that Pastor Gunther has put together. So check out the links. Maybe you want to give Extra Normal a test drive as well. I did yesterday and found it very easy and quick to get up and running. You can do it all online, or they have a downloadable piece of software that you can have more flexibility with on your local desktop. So lots of potential there. They do have it tied a little bit to a fee-based schedule. They give you some play dollars to spend to get you started. But then if you want to do more with the site, you may potentially have to pay a little bit to get some money to spend in their monetary system that they've devised for the different publishing of videos and characters that you can use and backgrounds you can use and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I almost characterized it. I think I almost characterized it as a Davy and Goliath meets South Park, you know, kind of approach, where that's kind of
combination.
It's kind of the flavor you get. I mean, it's a very stilted animatronic presentation with a kind of a, you can use it for gospel presentation, which is what those links show. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Very nice use of technology, something different. And, you know, free to give it a try. I created a video promoting VBS because we're going to have a robotics VBS, and they had some robots there. And it didn't take me about 10 minutes, and I had some robots talking to each other about St. John. It's neat because if you want them to go to your website, you type out www.dot, you know, St. John's S-E. It was fun. But the robots are talking about us, and I had to find a place to throw that up on our website.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah. Next up, a tweet from Perry Lund turned me on to the fact that MLC has their 125 years, 125 stories published out on the web, and you can actually embed it on your website. It's coming from a website called Issue, ISSUU. .com, which I wasn't familiar with, but it's a way to publish documents similar to Scribd, which I think we've used before on the podcast and talked about. And when it's published there, then there's embed code available. And Perry actually found a way to use that embed code on his Joomla website. He found a plugin for that. So he's got this book published on his website and was excited to share it with us as well. So thanks for the link, Perry. And if anyone's interested, check out the link and great book that MLC put together for their 125th anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Great. I wanted to share a link that actually my wife, Debbie, shared with me, which was a technology. And this is hard for her to do sometimes, is to find a technology that I hadn't heard of, because often she'll say, have you heard of this? And I say, well, if you'd listen to the podcast, we talked about that 3 weeks ago.
There you go.
And she gives me the look, and then I go on. But this was a technology that she came across, I'm not sure how, but called a boogie board. And maybe some of our listeners, especially our teacher listeners, have heard of this or maybe even used it, and I'd love to hear their feedback. But basically, a boogie board is a writing tablet. It appears to be about a 7-inch screen, you know, 7-inch diagonal screen, something like that. A little bit smaller than the iPad, but the way they bill it is the next time you reach for a piece of paper and a pen, don't grab a boogie board instead, and a tree-friendly alternative to memo pads, sketch pads, sticky notes, dry erase boards, and other writing, drawing mediums that can be reused over 50,000 times. So basically, it's an electronic whiteboard, personal whiteboard. I don't think it saves images, so you basically it's kind of almost like an Etch-a-Sketch kind of an approach where you can use almost anything to write on it. They do provide a stylus for it, but you can use any kind of, you know, your finger or, you know, the back of a pen or whatever it is to write on it. And it can be used in direct sunlight, but it can also be used in a classroom. I think that's probably where its greatest application is. So rather than a notebook full of scratch paper, kids can write out their math equations or, you know, whatever it is, you know, illustrations on this boogie board. It's about 40 bucks I saw on Amazon. So if anybody out there has got experience with this, I would love to hear about it because it looks intriguing to me. By Improv Electronics.
I am just imagining getting rid of all the little small chalkboards and whiteboards that mm-hmm. the kids use at their desk and not having any more mess with that kind of stuff, because yep. those can get kind of messy, and this looks like a clean solution for yep. classrooms.
MyBoogieBoard.com is the website. So if anybody's got experience with it, I'd love to hear about it.
And last up in the Ministry Resources section, we wanted to mention that May has been declared Digital Outreach Month, and that's from our friends at ieday.net, or internetevangelismday.com. Mm-hmm. And basically, this site is put together to give you ideas and resources for focusing on using technology to do outreach. And they've actually declared one Sunday each year as Digital Evangelism Day, and that Sunday is actually May 15th, but instead of just focusing on one Sunday, they made the whole month of May Internet Evangelism Month. So check out the resources there. We actually talked with Tony Whitaker, who's behind the Internet Evangelism Day website. It must have been about a year ago,
right?
In April of 2010, and he gave us his personal experience with reaching out digitally and the resources that he has put together there on the website. So you can listen to the archived conversation with Tony, and you can check out their website. They have a Facebook page where they'll give you ideas, and it's just another opportunity to get ideas and make use of technology to share your gospel message. Mm-hmm. So great resources there.
All right, let's move on to news and tech, Sally.
News and tech. We both got hit with news this week that Delicious Lives, which we have kind of waved the white flag over and said mm-hmm. that it was going away because right. Yahoo basically abandoned the Delicious platform, a social bookmarking tool that's out there. On May 2nd, it says May 2nd on what I'm looking at, but that's today. It must have been about midweek last week that they announced that the YouTube founders have acquired Delicious mm-hmm. and will be developing it and continuing to let Delicious exist out on the web. It was going to go away by about July of this year, but now it will live on. So if you are a Delicious account holder, you probably got email about this, and I think you actually have to log into your account and yep. Indicate that you will allow them to port the data to the new platform that will be hosting the Delicious site. So
did you get your email, Sally?
I did, and
I
made my transition. The problem is I quit using Delicious
yep,
in about December
too.
Of last year.
So I said, I don't care anymore.
I switched over to Digo, so
right.
now I got to figure out a way to get my Digo links and my Delicious links all in sync.
Yep.
I've used Digo, and I appreciate it now. There's a lot of features there, but there's features on Delicious that I like as well. They are definitely different products, even though they kind of have the same effect. I wouldn't mind having both in place just mm-hmm. for different purposes. So I'm going to try to figure out the whole sync thing, and I'm happy to hear that Delicious will live on.
Yep. Let's move on to our picks of the week.
And mine is just a quick little utility I wanted to share. It's not the catchiest thing, but it is a random name selector. So I can't give you a real short URL to it, but we'll have the link in our show notes. And it's good for potentially teachers in the classroom who want to just pick a student to do an activity. So you go there, you type in a list of names, and you can save it and get a URL that'll bring you back to that list of names anytime you want to use it. And basically, you click the go button, and a wheel spins, and a name is selected, and you can then select a timer if you want to give them maybe 2 minutes to respond to your question or whatever it is, or you can just click a button that says remove their name from the list so that the next time you pick a student, it's not the same student that comes up. Their name is removed from selection. Or if you want to keep them in the list, then you just click go again and a different name will come up. Very simple little utility, just one of those that I want to have in my tool belt if I ever need that in a classroom kind of setting. So check out the random name selector, and again, there'll be a link in the show notes.
Now, this was, I have to give Debbie credit again. This was, I think, something, she showed me something similar to this a couple of weeks ago, too. Does this actually pronounce the names?
It does. Okay. Or it tries to.
I think, yeah, that, we were having a little fun with it.
I typed in
She plugged in her class, and it was a kind of an interesting experiment. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool tool.
It does pronounce the names, and I think the kids will get a kick out of it. One of the words that's kind of threaded throughout is victim selector, which
right.
The kids will appreciate. They're your next victim or whatever. But it is just really a random name selector, but yep. Kind of with a tongue-in-cheek approach there.
Cool. Yep.
Yeah.
My pick, which I've already given a little bit of a preview for when we talked about my keynote presentation for the Staff Ministry Conference, is the Table Project, tableproject.org. And the way I would kind of describe it is it's a Facebook kind of concept, except it's internal to your church. And the reason that maybe I would even lean more toward using something like this, a tool like this, rather than Facebook for your church internal communications strategy is that it's kind of a me versus we strategy. Facebook is kind of me-centric, where you're writing your own profile and you're telling everybody what you're doing. And the tableproject.org really focuses on the we. What can we do together? So it has things like discussion boards, calendars. It has a prayer wall. It has a neat little serve application where you can add things that you need or that somebody else needs, and then other people can sign up to provide those. You can give stuff away, either goods or services. So it's kind of a little bulletin board where people can connect their skills together or their needs and make things happen within the church. So the whole serve app is one that's very intriguing for this tableproject.org. They've got a number of different apps. They have Dropbox integration, which I'm not sure is fully baked yet. It doesn't allow you to kind of have an unlimited number of files there because people all need to log into Dropbox to get it. But I think there's some promising tools here that would or could make this a tool for congregations. They have a groups section so that if you wanted to have a group just dedicated to, let's say, the ladies' aid or the youth group or whatever, they could have their own little section which has all their own apps, their own service app or prayer wall or calendar, discussion board, photo section, those kinds of things. Very simple concept, but I think nicely done and very promising.
And we did set up a Wells Tech Table Project group. You can get to that at wellstech.tableproject.org. And if you'd like, you can request an account there and play away like it's a sandbox. So give it a try, push the buttons, and see what you think of the Table Project. Are you going to be doing it at your church there, Martin?
I'm thinking about it. I did set up a site. Just to make sure I could get a domain name, and I was able to get peace.tableproject.org, which I was really surprised at. So if you think you even may be interested, you may want to go over there and grab the the most desirable domain name just to try it out. And then if you wind up going with it, then you've got a nice memorable URL like we got. So
cool. You'll have to tell us how it develops.
I will. Yeah, we're thinking about it. We do have a Facebook page. And like you, that's had limited appeal. We haven't done a huge promotion for it. We probably have about 70 people on our Facebook page, but we have a congregation of about 1,800 people. So, you know, not a great percentage at this point. So maybe this is a little bit more appealing. Everybody does need a login, and it's a more of an internal kind of communications tool. And really seems like it might fit the needs better for a congregation than maybe Facebook could.
And as you mentioned, Jonathan Favorite, the staff minister out at Crosswalk, demoed it live for us at the staff ministry conference, and it was quite impressive to see the interactions, the number of people that are posting prayer requests, and there's a button you can push that says, you know, I'm praying for you and that kind of thing, so you get feedback on your prayer request, and it was just neat to see it really being used in a live community like that.
Yep. We should remind our listeners, moving on here, that we will be doing some live streaming, the Synod will, of all of the kind of the highlights of the calling season, or the graduation slash calling season for both Martin Luther College and Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. If you go to livestream.com/wellslive, you'll see the whole schedule there. That's where we will be. That's our new streaming provider, and there you'll see the calendar of events when all the streaming will be going on. We're doing a couple three things from MLC, and which include the commencement concert, graduation, and call service, and then four events from Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, including the vicar call service, pastor call service, commencement concert, and commencement itself. So check that site out and tune in.
Always an exciting time of year.
Yep.
You'll also want to check out the information we have posted for Final Web users. We are offering face-to-face training in both Milwaukee and New Ulm this summer. And we have information, a one-day session for teachers with information posted at bit.ly/FW4teachers. And then a three-day session, Final Web for Dummies, where you can pick and choose if you want to attend one, two, or three of those days. Information at bit.ly/FW4dummies.
And we've got those parsed out by beginner, intermediate, and advanced, so you can kind of pick and choose there. So we'd love to have you.
Yeah, I can tell you that the registrations are starting to roll in. Mm-hmm. I know the Milwaukee session typically sells out, and so if you're planning to attend in Milwaukee, it may be time to get your registration in the mix so that your spot is reserved.
Great. Sally, what kind of feedback did we get this week?
We got teacher feedback this week from Ryan Rosenthal at Faith in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. He checked out the website Meet Me at Midnight. I believe we've talked about this once before.
Right?
And it's done by the American Art Institute, and it's kind of a sleuthy kind of thing for students to work through and get some exposure to the art galleries there. He said he used it with upper graders, 7th and 8th graders, and they thought it was a little bit below their level, that it would be good for 4th and 5th graders. And actually, Ryan, I used it with my 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders here in Sleepy Eye, and it was right on target. They were very intrigued by it and worked through all the puzzles and things and really enjoyed it. Ryan also added that the link to the main website, the americanart.si.edu, had some really good resources that his older kids enjoyed. So thanks for your feedback, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And then via Digo, we heard from our tweeting teacher, Jason Schmidt, who is currently at Gethsemane in Omaha, Nebraska. Jason actually shared some big news. He has resigned his call and is going to work for VoiceThread next year. So congratulations on that, Jason. But for now, he shared a link to an Edutopia article series about classroom assessment. And it's a really thorough series of articles that walks through all different types of assessment. Why is assessment important? What are some types of assessment? How do rubrics help? Mm-hmm. And then assessment resources. So I think this could be a very valuable series of articles for our teachers in the audience.
Very
so
good.
Thanks for sharing, Jason.
Absolutely. Next week, we are going to wrap up our study of or review of the book Leading 21st Century Schools. And chapters 8 and 9, and this is kind of a key or pivotal chapter because we're talking about privacy. And whenever you are dealing with children and the internet, that is always a hot topic. And in the book, we will take a little bit deeper dive or deeper look at that particular concept of privacy. So tune in next week for that. Let's close the show, Sally, with the music. Speaking of Jonathan Favorite, who is at Crosswalk Lutheran Ministries, one of the songs that they have produced, their worship team there, You Are My World. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We hope to talk to you next week.
Has brought me down. I feel like I am lost and can't be found. And when I've given up, you're still around. You pull me up. Take this broken clay, restore it back to life, to work today. Because of all your goodness, I will say your name be praised. And in all of this you show, you are grace, you are love, you're an everlasting Savior. I am weak, but you are strong, and I will praise your name. That any of my works could ever mend a love for me so great, you chose to send your only son. Your love is full and free, and Jesus' sacrifice has covered me. You've given me a life eternally by grace alone. This I see, you are grace, you are love, you're an everlasting Savior. I am weak, but you are strong, and I will praise your name forever. You are grace, you are love, you're an everlasting Savior. You are strong, and I will praise your name forever. Praise your name forever. I am finally free by what you've given for me. Now be with you for eternity. When I look to the cross, I see. You are strong, and I will praise your name forever. You are grace, you are love, you're an everlasting Savior. I am weak, but you are strong, and I will praise your name.